Please join me in thanking Credit Karma for supporting Mueller, She Wrote. Credit Karma. Apply with more confidence today. Ready to apply? Head to creditkarma.com/loanoffers to see personalized offers.
Hey, all. This is Glenn Kirshner, and you're listening to Mueller, She Wrote.
So to be clear, Mr. Trump has no financial relationships with any Russian oligarchs.
That's what he said. That's what I said. That's obviously what our position is.
I'm not aware of any of those activities. I have been called a surrogate at a time or two in that campaign, and I did not have communications with the Russians.
What do I have to get involved with Putin for? I have nothing to do with Putin. I've never spoken to him. I don't know anything about him other than he will respect me. Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
So, it is political. You're a communist.
No, Mr. Green. Communism is just a red herring. Like all members of the oldest profession, I'm a capitalist.
Hello, and welcome to Mueller, She Wrote. I'm your host, A.G., Allison Gill, and I have a lot of Mueller-related news to impart to you today, including some restitution that Michael Flynn has to pay. We get some stuff about Congress getting documents from a 3-year-old case against Trump. Zuckerberg and Sandberg of Meta, Facebook, right, will be deposed about Cambridge Analytica, and some sabotage, and of course the Fantasy Indictment League. So we have a lot of stuff to get to. So let's jump in with just the facts. All right, Michael Flynn, retired Army general and one-time advisor to President Trump, was cited by the Department of Defense Inspector General for failing to disclose lucrative speaking engagements and other business arrangements with foreign entities, prompting the U.S. government to pursue tens of thousands of dollars in penalties against him. And that's according to documents. Investigators determined that Flynn received nearly $450,000 from Turkish and Russian interests in 2015, including for an appearance in Moscow alongside Putin, but they found no records that he had sought government approval beforehand, which he has to. Their findings are detailed in a January 2021 memo to the Army released through the Freedom of Information Act this Thursday, a year and a half later. The Army notified Flynn in May 2nd in a letter obtained by the Washington Post that it would seek to recoup $38,557.06 from him, zeroing in on a money and in-kind compensation scheme that he received for a gala dinner celebrating the 10th anniversary of The Guardian, wrote that the Defense Department Inspector General had uncovered evidence that Flynn accepted hundreds of thousands of dollars from foreign interests and governments, despite repeated warnings by the DOD and the Justice Department that his conduct might be illegal. After the retired general pled guilty in 2017 to federal criminal charges that he lied to the FBI during the Mueller probe, the President Donald Trump at the time, Flynn, as well, and other supporters, claimed that Flynn was the victim of political prosecution. We remember that. While pleading guilty in 2017, Flynn also admitted to committing another crime related to his acceptance of hundreds of thousands of dollars from the government of Turkey without registering with the Justice Department as an agent of a foreign government, which is, you know, as we know, required by law. Now, according to people familiar with the confidential findings, Murray Wass wrote, of a recently completed Inspector General investigation, remember this is back in April of 2021, The Guardian can reveal Flynn was warned years earlier that his acceptance of foreign money and his not registering as a foreign agent would probably be illegal. Moreover, Flynn's conduct occurred while he was a private citizen, long before Trump became president. Taken together, this appears to constitute powerful new evidence discrediting Trump and Flynn's claims of political persecution by those opposed to Trump's agenda. In addition to the RT dinner in December of 2015, the memo highlights Flynn's paid appearance at an October 2015 conference sponsored by Kaspersky Government Security Solutions. Remember that? Remember Kaspersky? Quote, an entity that appears to be controlled by the Russian government. And Flynn's work for Inovo BV, a corporation organized in the Netherlands that assisted the Turkish government. The Army determined April 28th that Flynn violated the Emoluments Clause. That's Michael Brady, an Army spokesman, said in an email. The Army forwarded its findings to the Defense Finance and Accounting Service, which calculates how much is owed and handles collection. Flynn acknowledged the financial penalty in a television interview broadcast in May, saying the Defense Department was going to reach into my retirement and take some money out. He shouldn't even be fucking getting that retirement. He should be court-martialed and stripped of all of his benefits and pension. quote, yeah, it means something, but at the end of the day, this country means a heck of a lot more than what they will do to me. That's what Flynn said, suggesting the punitive action was politically motivated. Again, it wasn't. He was warned. He was a private citizen. The Defense Department Inspector General's investigation was opened in April 2017, but languished for years while he was the subject of a criminal investigation. O'Donnell, the acting inspector general, wrote in his memo that an investigation had been held in abeyance since June 2017, pending the resolution of criminal allegations against Flynn. After Trump pardoned Flynn, the Justice Department informed O'Donnell's office, quote, that their interest in this matter is moot and that the inspector general's office may proceed in a manner we deem appropriate. That's according to the memo. All right, up next. Remember when the House Oversight Committee subpoenaed Mazars for Donald's financial statements when they were investigating emoluments of the downtown D.C. Trump International Hotel? Remember that? It's years ago. Well, a federal appeals court this past Friday, gave both Donald Trump and House Democrats some of what each wanted in the continuing legal battle over access to those records. The court said the committee has the authority to get some of the records, but they limited the scope a little bit for what it could seek. The ruling was the latest development in that ongoing effort by the House Oversight Committee to enforce a subpoena issued to Trump's accounting firm, Mazars, in 2019, after former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen testified in a congressional hearing that Trump had inflated his assets in seeking loans, but deflated his assets to reduce his real estate taxes. The case wound up before SCOTUS, which rejected Trump's argument that president's records were beyond the reach of Congress, but it said the lower courts must be respectful of separation of powers issues and demanding documents from the president. In Friday's ruling, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia sought to apply that guidance from SCOTUS to the committee's more detailed explanation of what they wanted and why. The appeals court rejected a claim by the House that because Trump is no longer president, the Supreme Court's guidance no longer applies. They said, quote, the subpoena sought a sitting president's information. President Trump then brought this challenge while still in office. That's what the appeals court said. If there were no limits to Congress's ability to drown a president in burdensome requests the minute he leaves office, Congress would perhaps use a threat of post-presidency pile-on to try to influence the president's conduct while in office, unquote. But the court rejected a claim by Trump's lawyers that the committee's revised justification for the document should just be ignored since it was drawn up after the lawsuit was filed. Friday's ruling, however, limited the range of documents that the committee can seek under what the court called the committee's dragnet reach. So they just limited a little bit. It's like for certain years while he was in office and certain things about the Trump International Hotel in D.C. And from The Guardian, Mark Zuckerberg, CEO of the Facebook parent company Meta, will face a six-hour deposition over the way the company handled user data relating to the Cambridge Analytica scandal, according to new court filings. The deposition comes as part of a lawsuit filed in California court on behalf of Facebook users impacted by the platform's partnership with Cambridge Analytica, as we know, is a consulting firm accused of manipulating user data. They sure did. As The Guardian revealed in 2018, the company had partnered with the Donald Trump campaign and gained access to the private data of 50 million Facebook users, which was used to profile voters. The company also played a role in the 2016 Brexit referendum in the UK. Sheryl Sandberg, who stepped down as chief operating officer of the platform in June, will also face more than 5 hours of deposition interviews as part of the discovery process. Her successor in the role, Javier Olivan, has also been named in the suit and could face up to 3 hours of deposition. The depositions are scheduled to take place over the next 2 months and could feature other witnesses, including Facebook privacy officer Rob Sherman, former director of product management Eddie O'Neill, and platform partner executive Konstantinos Papamiltiadis. And that's according to filings. In a civil case like this, a witness who testifies at deposition is under oath, with a court reporter transcribing everything the witness says. Typically, the deposition is taken at the law firm of the party seeking the deposition. Because the testimony is delivered under oath, the witness is testifying under the penalty of perjury. Robert Frenchman, a partner at the New York law firm Mukasey Frenchman, said the use of time limits is unusual in depositions taken in civil cases, but lawyers representing the plaintiffs would be happy for the opportunity to depose the CEO and former COO. Quote, plaintiffs savor the opportunity to cross-examine C-suite executives, and they'll have free rein on a broad range of topics. For the corporate defendant, there is far more to lose than gain, he said. Throughout the discovery process for the case, plaintiffs have obtained thousands of exhibits from the company going back 13 years. Facebook has pushed back against the extensive investigation, accusing plaintiffs in a court filing of constant and continuing overreach. Meta. The suit could reveal new details in the Cambridge Analytica scandal, which rocked the company's public reputation and led to congressional hearings in which Zuckerberg was grilled for hours over Facebook's data privacy policies. The company agreed to a record $5 billion fine from the FTC in 2019 over that scandal, but critics have pushed for more legal accountability, noting that financial consequences mean little for the massive firm. Meta reported $118 billion in revenue in 2021. 118, so a $5 billion fine, meh. Facebook has been hit with a number of lawsuits related to the case, including four in just 1 week of 2018. The suit is the first to include extensive depositions from high-level Facebook execs. Plaintiffs are seeking up to $5 million in damages. Meta did not immediately respond to a request for comment. All right, I will be right back with some sabotage and, of course, the Fantasy Indictment League. Stay with us. Hey, everybody, it's AG. Repairing and building your credit is an important part of gaining access to greater financial freedom. It's been foundational in my own success and many of the wonderful things I get to enjoy today. But paying down debt is stressful. It's like a cloud hanging over your head, especially when you have to keep track of multiple monthly payment dates and high interest rates. So if you're tired of juggling due dates, consolidating with a personal loan could be your answer. That way you'll have just one due date a month, and Credit Karma can help you find the best option for you for free. Credit Karma uses your credit data to find loan offers that are personalized to you, so you can have a better idea of what loan amount you can get approved for. They'll even show you your chances of approval, so you can choose between loan offers that you're more likely to get approved for and apply with more confidence. Comparing loan offers on Credit Karma is 100% free, it will not impact your credit score, and it could save you a ton of money. Credit Karma. Apply with more confidence today. You'll be glad you did. Ready to apply? Head to creditkarma.com/loan offers to see personalized offers. Again, that's creditkarma.com/loan offers to find the loan for you. That's creditkarma.com/loan offers. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's time for Sabotage. All right, everybody, Justice Department prosecutors have subpoenaed information about some of former President Donald Trump's lawyers and closest advisors as part of their criminal investigation into efforts to put forward that fraudulent slate of electors, multiple fraudulent slates of electors, in the 2020 election. The subpoena asks witnesses connected to a slate of alternate electors, in quotes is alternate, for Trump in a state that Joe Biden won to provide to a federal grand jury any communications with government employees, with the Trump campaign, and with some of the most prominent people around Trump in 2020. The elector-related investigation represents yet another aspect of the Justice Department's sprawling investigation into the events surrounding January 6th. That criminal probe has expanded in recent months beyond the hundreds of rioters who stormed the U.S. Capitol as investigators gather info about Trump's inner circle. Former Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani, advisor Boris Epstein, and campaign lawyer Justin Clark are among the list of names witnesses were asked about, according to sources. So you're wondering, like, what does the January 6th investigation have to do with Mueller? Rudy, Boris Epstein. That's what. The subpoena also seeks communications with several other individuals, including John Eastman, who was a key figure proposing blocking Biden's presidential win, Bernard Carrick, a longtime friend of Rudy's, who worked to find evidence of voter fraud in the election but failed miserably. In addition to any communications, the grand jury is seeking documents related to attempts to certify electors for Trump in one of the states where he lost the popular vote. The New York Times first reported on the subpoena seeking information from some of Trump's lawyers. Representatives of Clark, Epstein, and Eastman declined to comment. Rudy's attorney didn't immediately respond. Carrick's attorney, Tim Parlatore, said his client would be happy to cooperate with an investigation if needed, but it's impossible, he says, to understand what DOJ would even be looking for, as this is a political issue, not a criminal issue. Okay. So it was campaign related? So you're not covered by any privilege? Cool. Prosecutors are also seeking information about Trump lawyers, get it, Joe DeGeneva, and Victoria Tonesig. Also, Jenna Ellis and an appellate attorney who assisted in the campaign, Kenneth Cheesebro. That's according to sources. These four people also didn't respond for requests to comment. Now, given that information, let's play the Fantasy Indictment League.
I'm going to be indicted!
No, wait, it's going to be okay.
Indicted!
Honey, Dick.
Indicted!
Honey.
I'm going to be indicted!
Oh, they can't. It's going to be okay. Just calm down.
I can't calm down. I'm going to be indicted.
All right. First up, give yourself a point if you drafted some rando money launderers associated with Donald Trump. A criminal complaint was unsealed last week in the Brooklyn federal court charging Sherry Zhu Lee and Leon Bo Wang with wire fraud conspiracy, money laundering conspiracy, and conspiracy to defraud the United States by obstructing the FEC, Federal Elections Commission administration of campaign finance laws. Lee and Wang, both naturalized citizens, were arrested earlier last week in Oyster Bay, New York, and their initial appearance is scheduled for later this afternoon. I'm reading this on the day that it happened, but you'll be listening to it later. And United States Magistrate Judge Ramon Reyes and his court, and the United States Courthouse in Brooklyn. As alleged in the complaint, Li and Wang orchestrated a nearly decade-long scheme to defraud investors in a fictitious project to develop, build, and operate private educational institutions in Sullivan County, called the Thompson Education Center, or the TEC, Tech Project. The defendants solicited victim investors, many of them foreign nationals located outside of the United States, by falsely representing the progress they were making on the tech project and its support from government officials, including by sending investors and prospective investors promotional materials that included photographs of Li, the tech project president, with prominent U.S. politicians. Many foreign national victims were persuaded to invest in the tech project by, among other things, the defendants' false assurances that their $500,000 investments would guarantee them lawful permanent residence in the United States through the EB-5 investment visa program administered by the Department of Homeland Security. As alleged, instead, Li Wang and other members of the conspiracy siphoned off the money they fraudulently obtained from investors by transferring the funds through bank accounts held in the names of various companies that Li had created. Once the funds were in those accounts, Li and Wang used the funds to pay for numerous personal expenses, including clothing and accessories, jewelry, housing, vacation, travel, upscale dining, political contributions to prominent politicians. And the portion of the invested capital Li and Wang actually spent on the tech project was used merely to create and perpetuate the facade that the tech project was a viable development project and was actually under construction. For example, Li and Wang hired contractors, engineers, and other professionals to create architectural drawings and plans and perform minor work on or around the development site, which Li and Wang showed to potential investors to mislead them into believing the tech project had a realistic probability of completion and of delivering their returns on investment that the conspirators promised their investors. As of July 2022, more than 150 investors had invested at least $27 million in the tech project, including approximately $16.5 million from EB-5 investors who were promised a green card in return for their investment, and about $11 million from stock investors who were promised that an IPO would take place. As of March 2022, Li Wang and their co-conspirators have misappropriated and laundered at least $2 million in tech project funds. During the same time period, Li Wang and other co-conspirators spent at least an additional $2.5 million in investor funds on various personal expenses with no clear business purpose, none of which was reported as income to the IRS by Li or Wang. To date, no EB-5 investor in the tech project has received a temporary or permanent green card, and the tech project has not made an IPO or been listed on any stock exchange. In furtherance of their scheme, Li and Wang also acted as straw donors for foreign nationals to unlawfully contribute to campaigns supporting politicians and political committees. Among other things, Li and Wang promised foreign nationals access to U.S. political events and politicians in exchange for a fee. Li and Wang used the money they received from foreign nationals to fund political contributions and falsely identified themselves and other U.S. citizens as the contributors of the funds, in violation of the Federal Election Campaign Act and FEC regulations. In some cases, Li and Wang used tech investors' investment funds to make the political contributions, which they used to gain access to the political events, where Li and Wang took photographs with their elected officials. Li and Wang would then use those photographs as a marketing tool in soliciting more investments from foreign nationals in the tech project. For example, as alleged in the complaint, Li and Wang charged 12 foreign nationals $93,000 apiece for admission to a June 28th, 2017 fundraising event with the then president of the United States. Who was president in June of 2017? Li and Wang used the funds that they collected from the foreign nationals to unlawfully make $600,000 in political contributions in their own names and $270,000 $270,000 from Li, $329,000 from Wang, to the joint fundraising committee hosting that fundraiser. That's a PAC for Trump. Li, Wang, and their foreign national guests attended the 2017 fundraiser and took photographs with the then president of the United States. Li and Wang later used a photograph of Li and the president taken at the fundraiser to solicit investments in the TEC, in the tech project. It says other conspirators. So I think there might be additional indictments to come out of this. And Steve Bannon was found guilty on two counts of criminal contempt today after the jury deliberated just for a couple hours. He faces anywhere from 30 days to 2 years in jail, and his sentencing is set for October 21st. I think he'll get around 120 days, so put some beans on it. And my fantasy draft this week includes Rudy, DeGeneva, Tonzig, Eastman, Clark, who, by the way, was just submitted for disbarment in D.C., rando Georgia fraudulent electors, and more rando money launderers from the Oyster Bay thing. I don't think they're going to indict Gates, so I'm not going to put him on there because it's election season, but I'm willing to bet there's an indictment filed under seal for him somewhere. L.A. Key, Jacob Engel, the Greenberg guy, not the Secret Service guy, and Donald John Trump. Alternate, Bannon in the Manhattan DA's office investigation into his We Build the Wall scheme. They're still looking into that. Still a possibility. All right, that is the show for today. I will be back on the Daily Beans tomorrow morning to discuss the latest January 6th hearing, which I was at, and all of the news that's fit for swearing. Until then, please take care of yourselves, take care of each other, take care of the planet, take care of your mental health, and vote blue over Q. I've been AG, and this is Mueller, She Wrote. Mueller, She Wrote is written and produced by Allison Gill in partnership with MSW Media. Sound design and engineering are by Molly Hockey. Jesse Egan is our copywriter, and our art and web design are by Joel Reeder at Moxie Design Studios. Mueller, She Wrote is a proud member of MSW Media, a group of creator-owned podcasts focused on news, justice, and politics. For more information, visit mswmedia.com. MSW Media.